Welcome to Taking the Lead podcast. This is Pamela Burkett Jones, your host, a career strategist, certified coach, consultant, speaker, and professor. And today I want to welcome my guest, Crystal Barrows. Crystal is a career strategist and she specializes in job search. She's a job search coach. Welcome to the show, Crystal.
Thank you, Pamela. I appreciate you having me on. I'm excited.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, Crystal, I gave just a little tidbit for my listeners about you, but can you kind of give them a better understanding of who you are and a little bit of history about yourself?
Okay, sure. So, interestingly enough, I started professionally as a federal law enforcement officer or as a special agent for the Department of Justice. At the time, it was the Immigration and Naturalization Service. And after that, the plan was always to go to law school. Actually, I had been watching Law and Order and all these great shows on TV and knew I wanted to be in a courtroom. But I couldn't get into law school. It was so difficult. I'm not a great test taker. And so that was really a taste of like obstacles in my way. And so once after 9/11, actually, when we had the attacks on our World Trade Center, I made a decision. You know, I was in the time of a national emergency. I was unable to take time off. I was working nights. I was working 12-hour shifts. I was going to law school at night, and I decided to resign from the federal government to pursue my passion and become an attorney. So I did that and became full-time, and I loved it absolutely. That has been my legal career is over 10 years now, primarily in criminal law as a prosecutor for city and state of New York. And to me, there was no better job and experience and the people that I've met and serving the community even in which I grew up. And then it was during that time, I think, I started having a tug to help other people. Primarily, it started with women. I realized that I was setting goals and achieving some goals, and I wanted to kind of help or at least surround myself with others who were interested in doing the same. Yeah. So that was an introduction, I think, to goal setting and what I later found out to be coaching, which I'll tell you about too. But that's kind of my professional background. And just recently, last year, I left the practice of law to pursue coaching full time.
Wow, cool. So what made you picked when you did coaching full time, but then you zoned in on that job search coach. So what made you decide to become a job search coach in particular?
Good question. So I think what started happening while I was working full time for the government, I had friends and colleagues who were always asking questions, interestingly enough, of, you know, interviews for me to help them with their interviews or help them with their resumes. And it started with just getting my opinion. They would share with me what they were up to and what they were looking to do. They would ask me to take a look at something, a resume for them, give my opinion, and then they would keep me in the loop as to the process and how their interviews were going. And this would happen off and on. And at some point, a very good friend of mine said, you know, you really should start a business doing this. You could charge money for this. And I said, what? I said, no way. You know, I'm an attorney. I don't have a business background. And, you know, I kind of shrugged it off. But what happened was I started getting more and more signs, more and more whispers or intuition that this was a direction and a talent that I had. I really did enjoy it. I felt good about doing this for people. And so that is where I started. I then started some meetup groups, actually, in New York City and in Westchester County, where I did bring women together to start setting their goals, get some accountability, get some support. And a lot of the goals were personal, but mainly professional, you know, and so that was another sign, another push in the direction. And it was at one of those meetup groups that a woman said to me, you'd be a good coach. You'd be a good mm-hmm. coach. And I said, well, what's a coach? And I said, well, what's a coach? I don't understand that. And we talked and we became very good friends. And I did a little research because that's the thinker that I am. And mm-hmm. that was pretty much the conversation that started it all. I started, and that's how I found IPEC and obtained my certification in coaching, and then realized that the talent in the resume writing, interview preparation, the job search in general was the direction, was my purpose, was the direction in which I was supposed to go.
Wow, cool. And you know, I love your tagline. You got this tagline, smack fear, define fulfillment. Explain. I might want you to get a little deeper into what you meant by that and what actually stirred you to that tagline.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So yes, you know, and it evolved, but I think that there's this underlying premise of, and I'm speaking from personal and professional experience here, one of the biggest culprits or reasons for inaction is fear. It's fear. And so I learned from a motivational speaker many, many years ago, fear is going to be there. It's not going to go away. And so what do? We have to take control and be in the driver's seat, so to speak. And this speaker, her name is Lisa Nichols. She said, mm-hmm. she described this car, right? You're in the car and you're in the driver's seat and fear is in that passenger seat right next to you, all in your ear, telling you where to go, where not to go, stop, press the brake, you know, change direction. And it's confusing you and holding you back. And she said, tell that passenger, you can stay in this car, but I am going to control this conversation. I'm controlling this journey. And so you kind of have to give it a smack, give the old smack down and say, put it in its place. And so that you can move forward, right? And so each time I speak with a potential client, a friend, a colleague, a stranger, or I'm meeting people, when this topic comes up or if I hear what's really going on outside of what they're telling me, I realize that it's fear. It's always coming down to fear and being able to have that bounce back mindset, be able to push past that fear, smack the fear. And you know, everyone loves this quote about everything being on the other side of fear. And so how many times, right? So how many times have we pushed through it, accomplished something or made progress with something or even just figured out that we were to take a different direction? Even that's clarity and focus. But if we hadn't pushed past the fear, we wouldn't have any of that information, that knowledge, that lesson. So that's what smacking the fear to find fulfillment and happiness, some of the top desired goals for our society and individually and collectively, that's where that tag came from.
And you know, and I can see that because I can see people when they're looking for, when they want to get another job and they want to look, their fear is kind of, they don't want to be turned up, feel the fear of failure, mm-hmm. fear of rejection, yes. you know, mm-hmm. and I can really kind of get into seeing that fear mm-hmm. actually can be a turnoff that people
exactly.
won't go out there and just stay where they, you know, don't want to be, or they just don't, mm-hmm. you know, pursue a new venture because they think that, hey, if I do this, I won't, you know, I won't get it, or they won't look at my resume, mm-hmm. or they won't, you know, pick mm-hmm. me. And so
exactly.
they just kind of just go back. So I really get that after, especially after explaining it. So what are mm-hmm. some of the methods that you tell job seekers? What are some mm-hmm. of the effective methods that you go through?
So some of the things, so I always try to do an assessment, and I encourage job seekers, career changers to do their own personal assessment. And we need to check in with ourselves, again, speaking mm-hmm. personally in my own job searches, but also professionally as a coach, right? And so some of the things that I see, some of the top things that they're doing that does not work for them would be inefficient use of their time, right? So you think job search, you go right to job board sites, and that's where all your time is. But that's actually ineffective because the job board sites, we all know, it can feel like this black hole. And it's really in the engagement and networking and having conversations and building and expanding upon your network that you gain information, you can uncover leads, you can speak to more people, you can figure out the direction that you want to go or confirm it. And so using their time effectively is something that we always talk about. A lot of people do follow up. Before, I used to say, wow, so many people don't follow up after their interviews. I'm actually finding in my experience that people are following up a lot more, but now here's the kicker. The messaging that they're using in that follow-up is hindering them in some way. And so when someone says, yes, I'm networking, and yes, I'm following up, fantastic. We are more than half of the way there. But now I'm going to dig in because you're telling me you're still not getting responses or you're still not getting interviews. Now I'm going to dig into, well, what are you saying when you follow up? What are you putting in that email, right?
Right. Chris, I'm gonna want to go back a little bit because the sites, I want to really expand on when you say the sites. And I know we're talking about Indeed, and what's your opinion on those sites?
So, yes, you named some of the more popular sites like Indeed, LinkedIn, of course, Glassdoor, ZipRecruiter. There are a lot of job board sites. And then, of course, you have some of the more specific, industry-specific job board sites as well. So, for example, if you're in the legal field, there may be some legal job board sites that you would go to and use. Now, I believe in diversification of your job search. And so you do, even though the online job board sites can be a black hole, I believe that it should still be part of your strategy. It's just how much time how much time are you giving to the online job board sites? If you know that the return is not fast or expedient, or if you know that it can be frustrating because you're not going to always get a status update on your application. In fact, most times you don't hear anything back unless they are interested. And even then, you don't control the timing. It might be 2 weeks. It might be 2 months that you hear from someone regarding or just receive correspondence regarding an application online. I think it's a necessary part of the job search. Absolutely should use it. I'm not saying that they don't work. They can work. However, 80% of job seekers find employment using networking, using LinkedIn. Yes. 89% of recruiters are finding talent on LinkedIn. And so it's very key, and there's proof in the pudding that it's the conversations and that networking that lands you the job.
Ooh, Crystal, right now we're going to thank my audience for tuning in. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with my guest, Crystal Barrows.
Greetings. This is Dr. Essie McCoy, your podcast host of Dr. Essie Speaks Education. I am elated to bring you a weekly show where I discuss everything about education. That's right. What you want to know, what you don't know, and what you need to know will be aired each Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Get ready, mark your calendars, and tune in to this show as we keep the pulse on education from an award-winning educator. Remember, once again, to tune in every Sunday at 5:30 p.m.
Hello, this is Pamela Burkhead-Jones, career strategist, founder of Proactive Life Coaching and Consulting. In your professional life, are you repeatedly saying to yourself, there has to be more to life than what I'm experiencing now? There has to be a better way to reaching my goals, aspirations, and desires. There is no way I can keep going down this road and maintain a level of satisfaction. This leads you to feeling stuck, overwhelmed, cloudy with uncertainty. I have a coaching program which will stir up your passion and develop a strategy to get you moving on to your next level. Contact me for further discussion. My email is contact@proactivelife.com. Visit me at my website at liveproactively.com or you can telephone me at 240-682-1343. Looking forward to hearing from you. Thanks for hanging in there. We're back with Crystal Barrows. Now, Crystal, we were actually talking about the job sites and all that. So I want to switch to, and you were talking about LinkedIn and social media. Definitely. I know employers and recruiters today are watching social media because, of course, when we talked about the different sites like Indeed and some of the other ones, Monster Jobs, they get so many at one point. You know, some jobs get thousands and thousands of resumes. So I know some of the times they pretty much find the talent on social media. So what are some tips would you give to artists on how to effectively use the potential job leveraging on social media?
Another great question. Thank you, Pamela. And so absolutely, what has changed in the last several years as social media platforms became a lot more popular and grew so quickly was that absolutely recruiters, employers, hiring managers are using these platforms to find their best talent. And so number one, there I still talk to people probably on almost a daily basis that are still not active on social media. So at a minimum, my recommendation is for those who are searching for a job, those who are searching for opportunity, whether they are for another 9-to-5 or perhaps are starting a side hustle and are seeking clients, et cetera, I would say you do want to be on LinkedIn. I'm a big proponent of the LinkedIn platform being that it's a professional platform and all that it has to offer. The next thing that I would certainly tell your listeners is that the social media platforms, you want to be thinking about your professional brand overall. So particularly as a job seeker, what is the message that you're trying to communicate? You're trying to communicate who you are, what you do, how you do it, for whom you do it, and the unique way in which you do it, your value proposition. So when you're talking about either your LinkedIn profile or a Facebook page, or perhaps you're contributing or participating in Twitter chats with job seekers or employers, yes, those exist, you want to make sure that you are bringing a cohesive message. An employer should not, or recruiter should not, see one version of you in your resume, something completely different on LinkedIn, or perhaps something completely different on Facebook. And of course, we want to be monitoring and paying attention to what it is that you're posting. What are the things that you comment on? How active and engaged are you with the professional community? These are some of the things that people will be looking for on these social media platforms. So communicating your brand, your professional and personal brand, cohesiveness in your resume and cover letter, LinkedIn profile, your branding. And then I talk about something with my clients called the CASE method for LinkedIn. And by CASE, I mean C, connect, A, be active, S, be seen, E, engage. And if you follow those steps and bring those components into your branding, you will attract opportunities, you'll be more proactive and engaged on the platform and really increase and overall enhance your professional development.
That's some good, that is definitely, so it's CASE. That is a good analogy to actually for them to understand because, you know, a lot of people, they, you know, they're active on Facebook, you know, and they're active on Instagram. But when you want to be, when you're a job seeker or you want to you get new opportunities, you have to also be active on LinkedIn. And I'm sure, and I've seen it firsthand myself, that people will search you and they will look in because I've actually got quite a few inboxes myself of people looking for potential employees. And so it is real. I mean, that is definitely real. That's a real thing that they do reach out to you. So you have to be constantly mindful of that, of who you represent and what you want to say and the things and, you know, the language and everything else, because if they feel that you're not going to be someone that they are, you know, wanting their, you know, as a potential employee, a teamwork or whatever, they will definitely move on to the next. So, yeah, that's great. Now, some of the things, you know,
We could talk all day long. I know you, I could just sit here and listen to you because you got so much good information, Crystal. And I just thank you for all that you're giving me.
Thank you.
Can you give me some of the do's and don'ts in the world of job searching? Do you have like a list of do's and don'ts that you could kind of like pinpoint and tell everyone?
Sure. I have. It's quite a long list. However, I'll touch on a couple of things that I see most often and that I find myself really recommending most often when I'm talking to people. Having a strategy. So ideally putting in the work to create an effective strategy from the outset is going to pay off. I find that because most people, we know what it takes to find a job for the most part. We know the steps, right? Application all the way through salary negotiation. However, if you try to wing it or go about it without a strategy in place, being targeted and focused and really intentional about where you're trying to land, you can spin your wheels. No one loves this job search. The job search tends to be more of a roller coaster. Emotionally, it can have physical manifestations depending upon how long you have been searching for a job, right? And particularly now when millions of people have lost their job or are in fear of losing their job, we want to be using our time efficiently and effectively. So having a strategy from the beginning so you don't have to backtrack. Having conversations, I'll just say that. We talked a lot about networking today, and so it is crucial to be having conversations. If you step outside of, quote, networking, think about relationship building, think about getting information, being informed. Just like you want to be informed as a consumer, you want to be informed as a job seeker or a career changer. So in the same way that you would research testimonials, reviews, do research on companies, do check out their press releases, talk to the people that have worked there or are currently working there, have conversations. And then most important, I would say, is in the tailoring of your application. A lot of people are still sending out the same resume kind of in a mass way to companies or employers, providing them to recruiters. And this, it can work for some people. I've seen it. However, for most job seekers, you have to really tailor that resume and a cover letter, if you're using one, to the specific position that you are applying for. For every application, whether it's an online job application, a referral, someone sends you something, a recruiter sends you an opportunity on LinkedIn, for example, that is your best friend, the job description. Take it, save it, print it out, mark it up, highlight it, circle those skills, compare it to your resume and your cover letter. Let your cover letter be about the value you can bring, not just a reiteration of your resume. And so that is something that I see time and time again that people are not taking the time to do. They are relying on the fact that they know what the position is likely entails. They have a good understanding and knowledge base of the industry. And so they feel that if they just apply with their skills and experience, that is the way in, particularly during this time of crisis and in its aftermath to come. That is not enough.
Now, Chris, I got to ask you a question. Now, with the way social media is now, what's the proper way to do it? Because you could probably think if you do a research and you research your company, you find someone in that company and you find them on social media. Is it a do or is it a don't to reach out to that person and message them? And, you know, what's the general rule for that?
That's a common question. Yes. Thank you. Such a common question because people know or want to reach out, but they're not sure if it's appropriate, not sure what to say, to whom, when, how often. So generally, I will say absolutely. Reach out to, for example, let's say I'm going to use LinkedIn as an example here. Let's say you're using that job feature, you're getting results, you're parsing through the results. You find a position in which you're interested, you feel you're a good fit for it, and lo and behold,
sometimes there is the job poster that's actually listed. I absolutely want to take that time to reach out to that job poster. It actually worked for me professionally and personally. I saw the job poster. I reached out with a simple message to communicate who I was, the position that I saw available. I made it very easy for the person to get back to me if they're interested. So I'm not asking tons of questions. People tend to think if you ask questions, they're going to get back to you, and then you're disappointed or frustrated if they don't. Sometimes it's best to make it easy and give them what they need, and then if needed, or if interested, they will reach out to you because you've made it easy for them to do so. So an introduction of who you are, what you do, how you do it, the value that you can bring, so that value proposition in just a few sentences, the name of the position, if you applied for the position, when you applied, and then provide your contact information, perhaps your email address and a phone number, making it very easy for them to find your application, know what it is that you're talking about, taking a look at your LinkedIn profile and your resume, and if interested, they will get back to you. So start in baby steps. You don't want to jump to asking for the job. You don't want to jump to, and you also want to, it's a give and take, right? And so particularly if you're reaching out to a recruiter, offer your network. Perhaps the recruiter would like to speak with someone else in your network, right? So there's a support here, a two-way street, a relationship that's being built. And if you don't get the response, the exact response that you want, or you're not being put ahead of the pile, you know, of applicants, then at a minimum, you have a new connection in your network at which you can reach out to again or circle back to.
Wow. And this is a do or don't. If they don't reach back out to you, you don't hear anything from them, is it okay to, what would you say as far as what you've been seeing, is it okay to follow up with them maybe in a couple of weeks or just to leave it as is?
Absolutely want to follow up. And particularly in this unprecedented job market, you have to be a little bit more proactive and in taking initiative. That follow up could be just the nudge that has them get back in touch with you or reach out to you, right? Perhaps if a recruiter viewed your profile but didn't send you an invitation to connect, why not you reach out to them? Thank you for viewing my profile. I saw a position on X date for this position, name the position. I'm very much interested in it. And if you're available, would love to learn more. Here's my contact information, right? Because that might be the nudge for that person to say, okay, maybe I'll at least connect, if not reach out to them. I had someone that I reached out to, and it was quite clear she was not going to get on the phone with me. I was trying to get an informational interview for 15 to 20 minutes of her time, and she wasn't going to do that. However, she had told me to send her my documents, my resume, and my cover letter, and I did that. And I thanked her. We were connected on LinkedIn. And I would say about 2 months later, I was still in my job search, and I did receive a call from a talent acquisition representative. And when I said, oh, how did you find me? He mentioned this person that I had reached out to. She had passed on my documents. So if I hadn't followed up or hadn't sent that messaging in the first place, a potential missed opportunity. And what you talked about, Pamela, right, what you talked about earlier in terms of attracting opportunities, listen, take the steps that will take some of the pressure off of you when we have 1,001 things happening and trying to balance 1,001 things in our lives these days. Take some pressure off of yourself and build your brand, display that brand so that opportunities come to you. Yes.
Right. And you know what? And I want to dig into network just a little bit, you know, while before we kind of wrap up the show. I want to ask you a few things, because like I said, we could go on and on. As far as the network piece, we knew how to, I mean, networking before COVID was different. You can meet in person, you could go to a networking event, you can meet at a coffee shop, you could do all types of things to actually meet with different people as far as network. Now we're in the pandemic and then also the other stuff that's going on with injustices. So basically we're here again where networking is going to be a different type of animal. So what are some of the different ways that we can try to still network with people, with future employees? And then we talked about social media, one thing, but mm-hmm. what are some of the other ways that you've seen? And I mean, we could kind of go into a pool of, you know, just brainstorming together that you can mm-hmm. network without meeting in person.
Yes. So particularly also post-pandemic, right? So a lot of the networking actually moved to online, right? A lot yes. more virtual networking events that a lot of people have been taking advantage of, which I think is fantastic. You know, people
yes,
were
too.
Being, right? Yes. People were being very creative about how to keep having people, professionals come together, share, introduce themselves, share what it is that you do or what it is that you may be looking for. And so I believe that those things are not going to go away, particularly because it is another means or another alternative to those busy professionals who are unable to have a coffee date, an in-person coffee date. What you'll see now are online coffee dates, right? Or another thing that you could do is also just be in the mindset of the fact that more people are online now because of the work from home policies that were in place and are just now beginning to start to sort of reopen, right? But I believe that so many more Zoom accounts have been created. People are not necessarily going to all stop using Zoom. So now this is an opportunity to offer and be more expansive in your networking. Offer a Zoom call or other type of video conference technology where it makes it easy for the person that you're asking to meet, e-meet, if you will, to be available. You also can effectively pitch your skills and experience in a way. If you're using video conference technology, you can literally pitch your skills, address pain points and challenges, have longer conversations. There's a convenience factor to it. And so the fact that we were all at home and kind of on lockdown has really opened up a lot more for a lot more alternatives and opportunities for networking. And if you yourself mm-hmm. can create these opportunities as well, you can go onto these platforms and invite or interview or offer to interview people within your industry, right? As another way to show engagement and to show professional development, which can also lead to and uncover, which will also lead to other opportunities and opportunities for you to apply to as well.
Right. And that's what I always say. Now, people have to really keep their eyes open more for those virtual mm-hmm. events, those networking, because they actually say networking, you know, networking yes. event, virtual event.
Yes.
And they have to, because so many people are still stuck or they're still thinking before we went into the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So they're still thinking mm-hmm. the networking before everything, or maybe mm-hmm. some people who haven't, you know, looked for a job in 10, 20 years.
Yes.
They're still kind of thinking the old way of, you know, I had to go back to remember the newspaper where you just saw the job ads. Well, you really, the people don't really do that anymore. And you just circle it and say, okay, I'm going to call. Well, that's pretty much almost gone. You know, mm-hmm. so you got to really mm-hmm. be mindful and keep up with the times. Now, Chris, before we take that last break and wrap up the show, any person who's thinking about finding a job or in the job process and looking to, you know, and don't know where to start or where to begin, what advice would you give them?
Mm-hmm. So first, as I mentioned earlier, do an assessment of where you are. So whether you're engaging in a job search voluntarily or involuntarily these days, or even a career change, do an assessment of your skills, sort of like an inventory, right, of your skills and experience. And just kind of brain dump this all out onto paper and don't leave anything out. One of the things that is easy, particularly if it's been many, many, many years, in which you've had mm-hmm. to do conduct a job search, you tend to maybe forget some of those accomplishments or some of the ways that you've had an impact on your employer. And so just kind of refreshing yourself, using it as a motivator and gathering that information, pulling out that dusty resume and updating it to first just get the lay of the land, where you are at, your current state professionally, before just diving in to applying for positions. Discovering what your focus, right? Discovering what your focus and target is going to be. And then creating that job search strategy that I mentioned earlier. Creating a strategy on how to monitor and track the people you talk to, the positions you apply for, the follow-up that you do, so that you can stay on top of it. And then identifying companies that you want to work at, people in your network, expanding your network so that you continuously have people to tap into. And then with respect to your branding documents, everyone kind of starts with the resume or the cover letter. If you're unable to do this on your own, it's important to get help, important to ask for someone to give you feedback on these documents. Yes. Because, right, why take 1 month and you're putting out there a resume that doesn't help you shine, or a cover letter that just reiterates that resume, and you're wondering why you aren't getting responses? You need to seek help from a professional so that you know what your time is being well spent, and that your efforts are put you in a better place for you to receive the results.
Good information, Crystal. Good information. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to wrap up the show with Crystal Barrow. So everyone just hang in there. We'll be right back.
Statistics show that the most important asset as a successful business owner will be the relationships you build along the way. The Elite Conversations business community of seasoned and successful business owners and professionals will provide you a network of people with knowledge, resources, and the connections that can help take your business to the next level. Don't fall into the trap of frustration that results from being isolated and trying to figure things out on your own. Sign up for membership today and get connected with an awesome group of business owners, entrepreneurs, professionals, and influencers. To learn more about the great benefits of being a part of the Elite Conversations business community, call 301-257-5792.
Thanks for hanging in there. We're back with Crystal Barrows. Crystal, you gave so much good information during this show today. If someone wanted to reach out to you, how would they do so? Do that?
Thank you, Pamela, and thank you for this opportunity again. I can be found on LinkedIn and Facebook, and also if you want to follow me on Twitter as well.
Okay, Crystal, you got to give us your names on LinkedIn. I know Crystal is easy, but Barrows, can you spell it for us? And what's your taglines on Instagram?
Sure, yes. On LinkedIn, you can find me at Crystal M, as in Mary, Barrow. And on Facebook, Crystal Barrow, B-A-R-R-O-W, or Shape Your Success Coaching. That's my Facebook page. And also, you can find me on Twitter at Your Success Coach. You are Success Coach.
Wonderful. Crystal, do you have any other, you know, things that you're offering right now that you can kind of share with my audience?
Right now, I'm just going to share with you my Amazon bestseller book, Get Your Career Back on Track, The 8 Steps to Go from Derailed to Empowered. It's a quick read and an inspirational read for those who have suffered a job loss. And then feel free to reach out and book a complimentary 30-minute career reboot call. And you can find that on my website at www.shapeyoursuccesscoaching.com.
All right. Well, thank you, Crystal. This has been a great show, very, very informational. And I want to thank my listeners for tuning in. Remember, we're here every Thursday at 7 p.m. And if you'd like to reach out to me, you can reach out to me in 3 ways. You can contact me at my email at contact@proactivelife.com, or visit my website at liveproactively.com, or call me at 240-682-1343. Looking forward to hear from you. Thank you.